The next phase of growth, if we want to break through to the next level, requires that we take a different approach, and that approach has to largely be based on.
This is Digital Marketer.
Hey everyone, this is Mark DeGrasse, the president of Digital Marketer, and this is the podcast that keeps you updated on everything you need to know when it comes to digital marketing. From the platforms you'll be focused on to the guys, tactics, and tools that are working today. Today, our guest is Frank Coel, the chief revenue boss of Revenue Ranch. And we're talking about growing agencies. And one specific aspect of growing agencies that I think really wraps up the year well and will give a lot of people a start to the new year or just a new start any time of the year it is, if you're listening to this, not around New Year's. So welcome, Frank. And I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
All right. So before the podcast, we kind of talked about, you know, one key aspect of growth that a lot of, agencies don't focus on much. So let's just launch into it. What's the word of the day?
The word of the day is momentum. And so the reason that word is so important to me is because when we grow our businesses to that point where we're like, yeah, hooray, we've got a business, we've got clients, we've got employees, and we're billing people and someone else is kind of following up with the bills and it's not always just me. We get to that place and we're excited, but then all of a sudden things get stuck. We hit a ceiling. What we used to do no longer works as well as it once did. And we become overwhelmed because the chaos is growing, the complexity is growing, and we find ourselves having to play hero and save the day. When we get to that place, and by the way, in agency world and professional services world, I find that that place is anywhere from, you know, a half million to a few million in revenue, you know, call it 1 to 3 million in revenue, somewhere in there, there's this ceiling, there's this place where you kind of get stuck and you're overwhelmed and it just seems like herding cats to get everyone aligned. And so at that place is where we have to shift our approach to growing the business. So what worked up until that point is what I call entrepreneurial brute force, meaning I, the agency owner, am the hero and this business works because I'm the hero. So I call that the hero business model, okay? And it's a little deceiving because we get to that range and we think like, I hit the seven-figure mark or we're approaching it and like, feel good, this is a business. But it's a little deceiving because it's really based mostly on you being the hero. You know, you're landing the business, you're making sure clients are happy, you're making sure you're collecting cash. Even if you have other people helping, it's largely based on you pushing. And so the next phase of growth, if we want to break through to the next level, requires that we take a different approach. And that approach has to largely be based on creating and leveraging momentum in the business. It's about the only magical thing I've seen in business and in life is this idea of momentum.
Ah, I love that. Well, you know, what you're talking about is the hero journey, right? And we all say, oh, you're the hero of your own story and blah, blah, blah. But the funny part is that is right. But if you look at any hero's journey, there's always a failure part. You know, it's not a linear path. There's always, you know, the problem presents itself. The hero falls down and the hero has to pick himself back up and, you know, make the thing happen to complete the journey. So I think you're totally right. And I think most entrepreneurs, especially if you are kind of that sub, seven-figure mark, it's all up to you forever. And I've been through it. It's exhausting. What you're talking about is like the passion for the business and the passion for making this thing that you've made succeed. And it doesn't last forever. And you have to have that, you know, kind of renewal, which is what you're talking about. So how do you go about, manually creating that process?
Yeah. So I mentioned that momentum is kind of this only magical thing that I've ever found that exists in business and in any endeavor, really. But this magical thing, we could actually create it. We can be purposeful about it and we can harness it. And so the way we go about doing that in business is we obsess about working on the right things in the right order. If we don't work on the right things in the right order, we end up spinning our wheels and not getting the results that we desire. And when that happens, we get burnt out, we get frustrated, our leadership's affected. And so then we're not able to gather and align a team around that process. So we have to work on the right things in the right order. It's a lot like, if anyone's ever seen this video on the internet, this guy put up a series of dominoes. And the very first domino, I think, was your normal sized domino that you would see. It's like 1 inch tall, 1.5 inches tall, right? The final domino, which I believe was only about 8 to 10 dominoes deep, was this big, huge slab. It was a slab that would, I think it was like 6 feet tall and must have weighed, 500 to 1,000 pounds. And what he demonstrated was that if you line the dominoes up in the right order, that one little tiny domino that weighs a couple of ounces can actually be responsible for knocking over the 1,000-pound domino. This is what we're talking about in business. That is the power of harnessing momentum when we work on the right things in the right order. And so to do that, what I like to do is I like to look at business through what I call 7 core capabilities. So there are 7 core capabilities that exist in every business, no matter what your business size is. Even if you're a small business and you think to yourself, I don't have a head of administration. I don't have a head of finance. Believe me, those capabilities are still there. You just might be doing them all. So these 7 capabilities, if you'd like, I can go through them and talk about the importance of each of those. And then your job is to optimize them in a very specific order. So shall I go through that right now, Mark?
Yes. Yeah, let's do it. The whole concept of momentum, and I love the analogy with the dominoes falling. And I think one of the ones I saw had like a 2-story tall domino, and it was still 1 inch, and it kind of tumbled it all. And I think what you're talking about is the lining up. Because if you are, an entrepreneur or a marketer or whatever, you're hustling all the time and you can't see any of that. You just see a sea of responsibilities and tasks and projects that have to get done. And all you're trying to do is survive that process. And so I love that you're talking about, no, there's an order to it. And if you do the order right, then you can make all the things happen without having to, most people just never get through it. You just keep running wild until you either succeed so much that somebody buys your business and you can stop, or you fail and you start over again. So I love it, purposely doing what you're talking about.
Yeah, what's interesting is that the big, 2-story domino, the megaton domino, that oftentimes is in agencies and professional services businesses, lead generation, right? We got to make lead generation happen. We got to tackle this thing. And you just keep putting, why isn't it working? Why can't we generate the leads? Why do we not have a consistent pipeline? That's that big multi-ton domino. But what a lot of people don't realize is that there's a smaller domino that you have to work on first that will help give momentum to that lead generation. I do this time and time again with businesses. Remember, I had this one situation, client of mine, we were doing this live analysis in front of a group of agency owners, and he was convinced lead generation was his number one blocker to growth. So I'm not one to argue. And so I said, okay, let's go through that. Let's peel it back. And I have a process that I take people through on how we peel back issues. Lo and behold, his number one blocker actually appeared 2 dominoes earlier. And he had this light bulb go off and say, oh, wow, the reason lead generation is a problem for me is because I've yet to solve this thing in this other area. And so that's what we're talking about. So let me go through those 7 capabilities right now. So typically when we look at an org chart, we have a hierarchy of core titles and functions in a business. The 7 are CEO, COO, you have marketing, sales, operations. Operations, by the way, in agency world is delivery of the services. And then you have admin and finance. So those are the 7. Now, whether you have heads of each of those in your company right now, maybe you're small and you only have a couple of leaders and you're kind of splitting all those things, or whether you are a company that has a full robust management team, those functions still exist. Whether you have a person on each function individually or not, those functions exist in every business. But instead of those functions and those job titles, I ask the question, what is the reason those exist? Why do those job roles exist? The answer to that are the capabilities you need to achieve in your business. So let's go through each of those 7 again. CEO, why does that role exist? Well, the purpose of that role is to create a true north strategy and make sure that nobody on that team is misaligned with true north, that nobody gets hired unless they are a true north kind of person. So the true north is, where are we going? Who do we serve? What is our difference in the world? You know, what's the transformation we bring? What service promises do we make? How do we articulate our brand? What do we need to accomplish in the next 1 to 3 years to keep moving us in a big way towards true north? Okay. That's the whole purpose of that role, is to create that clarity.
Hey everyone, I wanted to quickly interrupt the podcast for a special announcement. If you're listening to this podcast because you want to become a better marketer, then I want to share with you what I believe to be the most comprehensive digital marketing program on the market today. It's called the Digital Marketing Mastery Certification. You'll learn to leverage the tools and channels to predictably and profitably drive awareness, leads, sales, and referrals. Everything you need to know to become a true master of digital marketing. We'll take an in-depth look at the core digital marketing competencies, including content, email, social media, community, digital advertising, data and optimization, and more. After earning your digital marketing strategist certificate, you'll have the tools to effectively reach your target audience through a full scope marketing strategy. Get started today at digitalmarketer.com/strategycert.
Now, COO, this is sometimes called the president or general manager, doesn't matter what you call it. The purpose of this role is to then develop plans that are in alignment with True North and make sure the entire team is executing towards True North on a consistent basis, that there are rhythms in place for that planning. So the problem with most small business owners is because we've played hero ball the whole time, we don't have too much structure with hero ball. Right? Hero ball isn't about structure and it isn't about discipline. It's about showing up and being magical. And that's great. That worked. But the next phase is, how disciplined can you be in your planning rhythms? Do you actually have a plan every single quarter for exactly what you're going to tackle, and making sure all functions of the business are doing that? Again, whether that's operations, which is client services, lead gen, sales, admin, finance, what have you. Does everyone have a plan every quarter? And are you pulsing together regularly to hold that plan accountable? So that's the purpose of the COO/GM. Let's talk about the third one. Okay, those first two are in the order. Those are in the domino order, by the way. The very next one people often think is lead gen, then sales, then operations, which is service delivery. It's actually flipped. The very next one is what I call world-class offering. The purpose of operations, the purpose of client services, is to develop a world-class offering, which means that it's repeatable, scalable, valuable, delightful, and profitable, right? That's what creates a world-class offering. And oh, by the way, it's also not hero-driven, meaning it's not working because the owner is so magical, infusing all of their magic fairy dust into the offering. It works because of those five things that I just mentioned. Now we get to the next thing, which is systematic sales process. That's the purpose of sales. The purpose of the sales function is that you have a systematic sales process that predictably filters out non-fit clients and predictably converts those prospects into opportunities and opportunities into clients. Next, now we get into marketing, but the purpose is active lead generation. The whole purpose of the marketing function is to develop active leads. Now there's an important distinction in why I use the word active. The opposite of active is passive. Most of us marketers, we're really good at generating passive leads. We've gotten really good at developing good lead magnets that will put people in the database that kind of match our ICP, our ideal client profile. But it's a lot harder. And it's another thing to say, oh, we're really good at generating active leads, meaning those leads that are not only ICP qualified, but they're raising their hand. And that is the whole purpose of that. I don't like the title, you know, head of marketing, VP of marketing, CMO. Purpose is active lead generation. Are you generating active leads? Yes or no? Now, there are some things we do long-term to help make that happen. But if we're not making that happen in the near term, then it doesn't matter if we call it marketing or sales or outreach or BDR or SDR. It doesn't matter what we call it. The purpose is are we generating active leads? When we have all of that working, Mark, we now have enough throughput in the business. We have enough clientele. We have enough revenue. We have enough employees to where the next function, which is the administrative function, which is all about creating a work environment, how people are paid, how people get support. Is the organization tracking training across all functions and growing people? Do people have the right equipment to do their jobs? That's all the administrative function. I call that the empowered work experience. That's the purpose. The purpose is to create an empowered work experience so people can be the best they can be both professionally and personally. Finally, finance. The purpose of that is cash and profit optimization. Again, now that you have all those things working for you, the investments you make into finance start to pay off because you have leverage. Imagine hiring a CFO when you're only two people strong. It's kind of a wasted investment. Sure, that person can do all the activities that will give you insights, but you're leveraging a pebble instead of leveraging a boulder. And so that's why it's at the end. Now, that's not to suggest that these things that are later in the flow get ignored. Certainly, you have to turn the wheel on those things in the meantime, but they don't become a strategic advantage for you and don't become the obsession of the CEO until the previous things are working like a machine. So that's the order. And if we, as owners, if we obsess about perfecting each one in that order, we will create massive momentum. So that way, by the time we're making those investments in, let's say we hire a really high-powered people management person that's going to head up the empowered work experience, by the time we make that hire, they're now leveraging this massive, well-oiled machine. So the investment we make there is, you know, affects a bunch of people and a bunch of throughput that otherwise we're not ready for. So that's the order. And that's the critical shift in how we look at business that we as business owners need to make. And we need to switch from hero ball to business management growth planning skills.
Wow. I love that. Yeah, I think that's one of the most complete explanations I've heard of the function of business development, because a lot of times, you know, you kind of just make the, you know, the business plan, the kind of core document, like, oh, you just need all these things, which you describe, except the way you describe it, you're tying it to the personnel that you're going to need, the operations you're going to need. And I love how you flip the script on, you know, kind of the function of sales and marketing, because a lot of times you're right. It's just like, no, just go get leads. But it's like, the leads just don't matter, because one, they're probably going to be wrong. Two, if it works, you're going to be so overwhelmed that you're going to miss out on all the business you could have had if you did a good job. And then three, there's a good chance that nothing you're going to do is going to work anyways. And then you're just going to end up on the hamster wheel of fulfillment, because you haven't planned all these things up to the point of fulfillment to make your life easier in terms of getting the leads, onboarding everybody, and actually having a product that works and is profitable. And so the whole thing's upside down for most people.
It absolutely is. A lot of people, when they talk about the growth engine, they think in terms of what you do in the marketplace from an awareness and lead gen standpoint. That's the start of the growth engine. I say BS. The start of the growth engine is what you do with your service offering. And if your service offering doesn't have those five attributes that I mentioned earlier, then generating leads in the marketplace is a lot harder. And oh, by the way, when you make the commitments to your service offering to be really focused on it, really sharp and specific about the kind of transformation and outcome you bring, doing a very specific thing for a very specific audience that solves a very specific problem, that makes lead generation and the sales process so much easier, because you know exactly who's in and who's out. So many agencies, when they are real muddy when it comes to the world-class offering, because it's not world-class yet, when they're real muddy with their offering, they end up taking on a wide range of quote-unquote opportunity, and then they wonder why the service aspect of their business is so chaotic. They wonder why, like, I don't understand. You've got capacity in your time. Why are you so stressed out? Why do you feel overwhelmed? The sheet shows you have capacity. I don't understand why you don't follow the process. Like, all of these problems creep up. And it's not because these people are dumb. It's not because most of them are neglectful. It's because you're piling onto them a hero business model. You see, you can do it. You can go in the boardroom. I used to be able to go into the boardroom with what I call blank paper selling, meaning any problem that they could talk about, I could solve. That's great for you, but that's not great as a business model. And if you try to throw that kind of work on your people, they are going to get overwhelmed. And for you, you could see it simply, they can't. So it starts there. Your growth engine, the heart of your growth engine, is actually your service offering. Last is your lead generation, right? And it goes in that order: your service offering, your sales process, then your lead generation, because each one makes the next that much easier.
I love that. Well, on top of that, you know, when you're talking about employees, because, you know, a lot of business owners will be like, well, you know, I'm just going to get the job done. And what you don't realize is that your ability to get the job done actually has a lot to do with your authority. Because when you say something, you don't have to go get it approved. You're not trying to accommodate, you know, the brand guide or the, you know, your boss. You know, what you have to do is you have to make sure your responsibilities are taken care of, make sure you're doing what your direct boss is saying, and then hopefully doing what his boss or her boss is saying as well. And your ability to make decisions is almost zero a lot of the times, because even if you had a great idea, if you just went off as an employee and did it, you're going to have everybody above you and to the sides of you being like, what the heck are you doing? Like, that's not your job. But business owners just go in and they change everything however they want. And that's why you're effective, or that's why you're more effective than your employees, because you can be and you're allowed to be. And that's not the case for them.
Yeah. And if we just think about the nature of people who start businesses and people who start professional services businesses, where it's about your intellect and your capacity to grasp the complex, that's what attracts someone who starts a professional services business, such as an agency. Your ability to grasp the complex is your strength. That's not everybody's strength. In fact, it's very few people think conceptually, and very few people can problem solve conceptually. The vast majority of people need to work in the tactical realm. One's not better than the other. You need both. But from a business model standpoint, we have to differentiate strategically and conceptually. We have to execute tactically. It's a very important distinction. And so, you know, once we have this lens on the business, once we have this shift and say, wow, this is how I need to be looking at business. The reason this is important is it forces you to think like an entrepreneur. So for example, let's say I were to go buy an accounting firm. Now I know a lot about finance because I really got in deep in my agency and really architected a really great financial picture and our approach to it. But I'm not an expert at running a finance business. And certainly I'm not a CPA and I don't know any of those practices. But if I were to go buy a CPA firm as an entrepreneur, let's say I came across an opportunity that looked good, I couldn't expect that I was going to get in and actually do the work or solve the problems or answer the client questions because I don't know how. But if I look at the seven capabilities, I can start asking who needs to own that capability. Do we have this capability? Grade each one and then say, okay, I need to make sure I have someone in each of these seats that own each of these capabilities. But this particular capability as the entrepreneur is the one I'm going to stay close to, help find the right people, look at it closely and problem solve, even though I don't know the tactics of it. It's an entrepreneurial lens. And it means that we as the owners may not be in the right seat. It might mean that we need to be giving up these seats to other people, because who belongs in that seat? Who is best to bring about that capability in our business? That's the question we should be asking, not how do we do it? Who is best to bring about that capability in our business? That's how you think like an entrepreneur. And it starts by looking at these seven capabilities. And by the way, once you have that understanding, the next thing you want to do is you actually want to grade yourself in each of those capabilities. You want to rate yourself so you know which one is your number one major area of blocker to momentum. For your listeners, if you want to grade yourself right now, if you don't mind, Mark, I've got a tool I've developed where you can go and answer a few questions about your business, and it'll tell you exactly where your number one blocker is based on those capabilities. So if you go to growthmomentumanalyzer.com, growthmomentumanalyzer.com, I don't know if you can link to it in the show notes. Might be easier since it's a, yeah. But growthmomentumanalyzer.com, if you go there, you can answer a few questions about your business. It'll tell you exactly where your number one blocker to growth is and provide you a roadmap for what to do about that blocker to growth.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I mean, well, I was going to learning all the things is hard. And I think, you know, grading yourself is tough too. Well, most of us as entrepreneurs, or if you are a solopreneur or even a small team, you've never even made an organizational chart, most likely, right? You're like, well, I'm doing all the stuff, so I'm not going to do that. But it's like what you're saying. And actually, I heard the same thing with like E-Myth Revisited, you know, kind of talks about that. Like, make your ideal chart. And if you have the responsibility, then put your name on it, but you know that you're going to replace it at some point. So I love that. And you give the tool to make it happen.
And here's the thing. It really depends on what you're trying to accomplish in your business. You know, one of the first things that I do with agency owners is, you know, I first want to know, like, what's your dream? Like, how should this business serve you? Because likely you've spent many years serving it. And that's fine. We need to take an attitude of service in everything that we do. But this entity that we're building should become an asset that serves you. And if it's not doing that, we have to start there. And if the answer to that is, hey, I just want to add a couple of people to the team and I want to do all the work still, I just want to get paid more, then great. Like, you probably shouldn't do any of this stuff that we've just talked about, because you're not trying to grow an entity that can run without you. But if you are trying to grow something that can without you, you want to be able to take a vacation and not, you know, check email, remain on Slack, or any of that other nonsense, then you have to shift to this kind of thinking and kind of approach. Otherwise, you'll never have a business that runs without you.
I love that. Well, and the structure of everything that you're saying has to do with that kind of, you know, delegation of the responsibilities, and starts there. It's not just like, hey, here's a department that you need. It's like, no, this is a person that you need, and then they'll form the department or do whatever else needs to happen for scale. But, you know, you start with the people and the responsibilities which you currently have. So I love all of this. So maybe what we'll do is have you back on and kind of talk about those different functions, the kind of leadership and management, and then the actual offer that you're giving, and then eventually gain to the leads, and maybe just go through each one of the seven and, you know, talk about in detail. How's that sound?
Would love to, Mark. Would love to.
All right. Well, we're going to do that. In the meantime, before we get that series started, where can people learn more about you?
So one, I recommend go to growthmomentumanalyzer.com. Okay. Go through that. It's a free resource. It'll tell you exactly where your number one blocker to growth is and give you a roadmap. So go check that out. And then if you want to connect with me to learn a little bit more about what my company does, the company is called Revenue Ranch. So if you go to revenueranch.com, you can access some free training there. And if you wanted to set up a time to talk, you could do that too. And then the third best way is connect with me on LinkedIn. And so just, you know, as my 8-year-old says, I guess what they say today is search me up. Yeah, that's apparently what the kids say today is search it up. Just connect with me on LinkedIn. Would love to connect with you there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Frank. Always appreciate your contributions to the digital marketer community. And I think this will be a great series because, like I said, and I wasn't you know, blowing smoke there, this is probably the most succinct business plan that I've heard. And it's so applicable right now. And you actually gave the tool to get started. So thank you so much for that.
Absolutely, Mark. Thanks for having me and look forward to the next episode.
Definitely. And thank you so much for listening. Be sure to hit that follow button so you get notified when all of our new episodes release. Please share this with a friend who's clueless about digital marketing. And don't forget to visit digitalmarketer.com where you can access all of our courses, certifications, and training programs. Thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
This is Digital Marketer.
Get ready for the two easiest ways for you to generate product photos for your e-commerce store. I'm Lauren Petrullo, founder and CEO of Mongoose Media and Digital Marketer Academy faculty member. I've managed over 50,000 SKUs for over 100 different e-commerce sites, and I cannot tell you the importance of quality product photos. Not only are they important for your website, but they're great to be repurposed in your email marketing campaigns, your paid ad initiatives, and your organic social media content. It's imperative that you have great photos because great photos sell your products and start conversations with your consumers. There are two great solutions when seeking out quality product photos for your e-commerce site. One, UGC. We know that native user-generated content wins all day on social. When you can get your customers to share back their use of your products in their voice, in their personal applications, you will see dividends when that is repurposed in your paid ads and organic social feeds. Secondly, don't have customers or UGC yet? Not a problem. There are cost-effective solutions in which you can outsource that photography. This and so much more is covered in my modules in our e-commerce cert with Digital Marketer.